Welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, a senior member of Tortoise provides a timely update on trending topics in the market.
Welcome to the Tortoise Credit Podcast for Tuesday, the 21st of November, 2017. I'm Graham Allen, Senior Portfolio Manager for Tortoise Credit. At around the end of 2012, investors began anticipating the end of the bond yield downtrend, which has lasted for the best part of 30 years. Many anxiously waited for that upward break in long-term yields, signifying the end of the bull market in bonds. But waiting for that transformative shift has been like waiting for Godot, because so far it hasn't happened. Today, we will look at some of the reasons for this, as well as what we can expect in the fixed income markets in 2018. We will examine some of the short and long-term market forces, which help explain why yields haven't risen yet. First of all, let's clarify what rates have actually done in the last year or so. The US 10-year Treasury yield reached an all-time low just after the Brexit result of 1.36% in July 2016. So at today's level of around 2.35%, there's been a 100 basis point rise. Despite this, we have not seen the technical breakout to the upside that would signal the end of the bull market in bonds. With accelerating growth in the US economy, record issuance of over $1 trillion in the investment-grade corporate bond market in 2017, rising commodity prices, and the generally accelerating global recovery, people are starting to quiz why interest rates have not risen. Let's start with the most obvious issue, which is that inflation is generally missing in action when one looks at the data. The core personal consumption expenditure indicator, PCE, is presently languishing at 1.33%. well below the Fed's target of 2%. Despite accelerating U.S. growth, inflation has not been a problem. Third quarter U.S. GDP grew at 3.1%, significantly higher than the annual average of U.S. growth in the last 7 years of plus 2.1%, and yet the PCE continues to be stable or drift marginally lower. But commodity prices are generally on the rise, with the exception of oil, which has fluctuated wildly in the last 3 years. That said, the price of WTI has risen gradually since its recent low of $26 a barrel in February 2016 to its present level of $56. Also, since the beginning of 2016, the CRB Commodity Index has risen approximately 15%. These pricing pressures have been offset in the U.S. by generally lower wage inflation, which is partly due to the changing nature of employment in the U.S. For example, more part-time employment. There is evidence that historical triggers for wage inflation are also different this time around, given the effects of automation and population characteristics of the new generations. So for now, wage inflation is generally absent, but there are some warning signs. Another reason why long U.S. rates have been capped is that despite appearing low on a nominal basis, U.S. yields have remained attractive when compared to other markets. Short-term yields in Europe are largely negative. All German Bund yields maturing in 6 years or less remain negative, pulling down the rest of Europe. Not only are U.S. yields attractive on an international basis, the U.S. markets are the most liquid, attracted foreign buyers in substantial numbers. Not only do investors like the yield, but they'll also pay up for liquidity. Foreign buyers are not likely to disappear anytime soon, which is perhaps best demonstrated by the fact that the U.S. investment-grade corporate bond market has issued over $1 trillion so far in 2017, a fact not likely to be repeated in 2018. So, demand for fixed income and yield in general has been strong. To some extent, this could be driven by U.S. demographics, which are worth mentioning as they may well have a significant influence in the future. A typical baby boomer is born between 1948 and 1962. Therefore, the bulk of that population is rapidly approaching the retirement age of 66, the year when Social Security payments maximize. As this population bulge moves towards retirement, it could be that the demand for steady income from investments is rising. This heavily favors the fixed income markets of the U.S. Indeed, the combination of liquidity and yield is the ideal solution for any shrinking public pension fund, which seeks a combination of both, as retirement outflows begin to increase. Despite the enormous pressure public pension funds are under to meet yield targets, their ability to invest in higher-yielding illiquid investment is limited by the realities of the cash needs of their pensioners. All of this means that as the baby boomers retire, the demand of fixed income will remain strong. So what is likely to change in 2018? And could we see the end of the 30-year bull market run in bonds? Well, first of all, the U.S. Treasury market is likely to remain skittish as the global recovery gathers momentum, which seems to be the general expectation at this juncture. As growth accelerates, bond investors will remain vigilant to signs of building inflation. In the U.S., the key to this is the passing of specific legislation. Specifically, the tax reform package remains key, but not necessarily in a negative way for U.S. rates. Indeed, the lower taxes could well lead to higher U.S. growth, putting upward pressure on prices. However, one element of the proposed package could well affect the supply of new issuance, putting downward pressure on yields. If corporations are allowed to repatriate reserves at a lower tax rate, new fixed income issuance could decline significantly as immediate spending needs will be met by the repatriated funds. So any new tax reform package that includes that element isn't necessarily bad for U.S. interest rates. Another element that could have an effect next year is the likely rebalancing of many pension funds to account for the strength in global equities. Given that inflation has remained low and earnings in the G7 are probably growing at close to 16%, the equity markets have appreciated faster than bond markets. From a valuation perspective, many balanced investment funds are likely to increase purchases of fixed income to simply rebalance the equity bond mix. Some will rebalance and may well actually reallocate a higher percentage to fixed income. Another legitimate question is, are overseas rates likely to rise in 2018, making the U.S. less attractive from a yield standpoint? Again, the answer is probably no. There seems to be little prospect that European rates will rise until 2019, according to the comments by the ECB chairman Draghi. Elsewhere in the world central banks are still cutting rates at twice the rate as they are increasing them. So it appears that generally the globe is still at the tail end of a monetary easing cycle. Apart from the US, the UK, Canada, and New Zealand are the only three developed economies to start increasing rates. However, none of these economies are forecast to have particularly strong growth in 2018. Finally, let's go old school and look how some of the more traditional indicators of inflation are behaving. Let's look at money supply in general, money supply velocity, and capacity utilization. After QE was introduced, there was a dramatic increase in the monetary base. This was followed by a slight fall when the program all but ended. Today, however, the base is increasing again at a slower pace, implying that some inflationary pressures could build. However, money velocity continues to decline at a persistent rate, indicating the absence of an overheating economy for now. Finally, capacity utilization is once again creeping higher, but at 77% is still below the 80% level when capacity restraints would historically ring inflation alerts. We at Tortoise Credit continue to be vigilant against any signs that rates could break out to the upside. Whether it be double-digit wage inflation in Eastern Europe, rising Japanese producer prices, or just a more general symptom of global growth in the rising copper price. We try and factor these elements into our daily analysis. For now, we shall all continue to enjoy the Goldilocks environment of low inflation and interest rates, while growth and earnings accelerate. Enjoy it for now, because although it can continue, it won't last forever. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.